Welcome to the sermons of Westside Baptist Church in Mapleton, Georgia. Join us today as you hear a message from the Word of God by our pastor, A.T. Stewart. We trust you'll be blessed as you not only hear the Word of God, but as you obey it. Take your Bibles now and join us for a message from God's Word.
Do you want more faith this morning? Do you desire to have that faith that can move mountains? The faith that can see God move into your situation? Do you desire this morning to grow into spiritual maturity, to be like Christ, to see victory over sin and temptation? Do you desire this morning to really know truth in a world where there's so much deception? Do you desire this morning to experience all the blessings that God has in store for you? Do you desire this morning to walk with God, to see your prayers answered in great and mighty ways? Well, if you answer yes to any or all of those questions, then this message is for you. Because I'm going to share with you today how you can have these things in your life. And it comes from spending more time listening and reading and obeying the Word of God. Today I'm going to give you 10 more reasons why you should spend more time hearing and obeying the Word of God. I gave you 10 reasons last week. I'm giving you 10 more this week. The purpose of this message is to exhort and to encourage you to spend more time in the Word than you are presently spending and obey what you find in the Word of God. Now, the plan is for you to spend 12 minutes a day more than you're spending now in the Word of God over the next 3 months, starting September 27. This will enable you to go all the way through the New Testament before January 1. The challenge is for you to listen or read 12 minutes a day in the New Testament for the next 3 months. You'll be given an opportunity this morning to accept this challenge. Why should you spend more time in the Word of God? First, because the Word of God is a key to answered prayer. Jesus says in John 15:7, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." You want to see your prayers answered? Jesus says if His Word would abide in us, and we in Him, you could see answered prayers. This word "abide" does not mean to visit. It means to remain. It means to settle in, to live somewhere. Now, you do not abide at this church building. You visit here. You abide at your residence because that's where you live. Jesus says we need to abide to live in His Word. The problem is too many Christians only visit the Word of God. A few moments here, a few moments there. Some time on Sunday. But they don't live, dwell, abide in the Word of God. The more you spend in the Word of God, the more you abide in His Word, the more you will see your prayers answered because you will pray according to the will of God. John says over in 1 John 5, This is the confidence that we have before Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we've asked from Him. You want a guarantee for answered prayer? Ask according to the will of God. Well, how, preacher, do I find the will of God? You find it in the Word of God. So it only makes sense to me that the more time we spend in the Word of God, the more time we spend abiding in the Word, then the more we will know the will of God, and therefore the more we will pray according to His will, and therefore the more we will see our prayers answered. Well, how can you spend more time in the Word of God? Well, how about listening to it while you're driving, or while you're cleaning the house, or while you're jogging, or while you're listening? Right now, you probably are not spending these moments in the Word. Why not start? And then you can increase the time you're spending in the Word of God. Number two, the Word of God is truth. We live in a world filled with deception and lies. Who can know the truth? Do you get as frustrated as I get listening to the television and the radio and trying to determine what's true out there? You know, did John Kerry fudge on his Purple Hearts or not? Some of the guys that supposedly served with him said he did. Some of the guys that supposedly served with him said he didn't. Did President Bush fudge on his service in the National Guard? CBS showed a report that was supposedly written by one of his superiors that indicated he was not where he should have been. And then it was later reported by ABC that this document was a forgery. When the spin meisters get through, how do you know what's true? You finally just give up trying, don't you? I can tell you where you can find truth. Amen. Right here. Amen. That just drives me to the Word. I know what I read in this book is truth, because God's Word is truth. God's Word is a light in a world of darkness, a world of lies. And the more we fill our minds with the truth of God, the more quickly we see the lies and deceptions of the world. What you and I as Christians must do is that we must look through the lens of Scripture at our world. You need to filter everything that comes into your mind from this world through the filter of Scripture, God's Word. We need to just train ourselves to do this. When you hear something on the television, you need to immediately filter that through the truth of God's Word. And how does it stack up with God's Word? Look through the lens of Scripture. For example, how many times have you and I heard, as we've been watching a television program or at the movies, and the person is facing some great dilemma in their lives, a tough decision that they must make? And the advice that is given is, you just have to look deep within yourself and be true to yourself. You've got to let your conscience be your guide. Or, you know, you just got to be true to your heart. Just do what your heart tells you you need to do. Now, that's a lie. That will not guide you. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitful and wicked, And who can really know it? You see, when you hear that, you need to immediately say, now, whoa, whoa, whoa. It may sound rosy and good, but hey, that's not what God's Word says. God's Word says that it is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. That when I'm facing a dilemma, I don't do what my heart says I want to do. I don't follow some deep inside of me light. I go to the Word of God and I say, what does God's Word say? What light does it shed on my dilemma? And then through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, I walk in obedience to that light. The more time you spend in the Word of God, the more that light and truth will be in you, and the more you will recognize the deceptions of the world. Number three, you will benefit from spending time in the Word of God because the Word of God sanctifies us. Again, in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth. Now that word sanctify is a real religious sounding word. What does it really mean? It is from the word holy, which is kind of religious sounding too, isn't it? Holify. Does that sound any better? What it means is to grow in spiritual maturity, to become more holy as God is holy, to become more like Christ. That's why we use the term sanctification, simply to mean growing into Christ's likeness, being more like Jesus. Jesus Himself said, if you want to be like Him, you go to the Word. Because the Word reveals Jesus. You and I have not had the privilege to walk on this earth when Jesus walked. We did not have the privilege to listen to Him teach and to watch Him live. And so we have to go to a record who will reveal to us the Jesus of history. And you can find the historical Christ right in this book. What we have is an accurate and true record of the Lord Jesus Christ as He walked among us, as the truth took on humanity. And the more time we spend in the Word of God, the more we will be conformed to the image of Christ. In fact, there is an inherent power in the Word of God. And that is so because the Word is alive and active. It's not just the print on these pages. The Word of God is much more than that. There's a spiritual dimension to the Word of God. And it will bring spiritual maturity to the Christian who believes it and obeys it. In fact, Paul talked about the Word performing its work in those who believe it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, listen to what he said. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God. Now listen. Which also performs its work in you who believe. Did you hear that? The Word of God actually performs its work in those who believe. You see, it is alive and active. It's powerful. And when we are in the Word of God and we believe the Word of God, it actually works in us to bring about the truth that's there. That's amazing. No other book in the world has that power. No other Christian writing has that power. You say, well, preacher, I don't quite understand. How does that work? Let's say you have been hurt by someone deeply. And your heart is just bitter. You're just angry. You're mad at them. You're bitter toward them. You just want to get back at them. There's just this root of bitterness springing up within you. Every time you see them, it's just like somebody has thrown hot water on your face and you just get angry all over again. You can just feel your face getting flushed. And then you're listening to the Word of God on the way to work one day. And you're over in Ephesians 4:31 and you hear these words. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. But be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And suddenly as you hear those words, the Holy Spirit takes them and He convicts you. And you say, God, I want to obey this verse. I don't want to have that anger and bitterness and malice in my heart. I desire to be forgiving and tenderhearted, just like You have forgiven me in Christ. I will believe that verse by Your grace. I will trust You to bring this truth, to work this truth in my life. And as you take that word from God and as you believe it and hold on to it, the Spirit takes that word and performs it in your life, and He begins to bring that work of forgiveness in your heart, and He begins to take away that malice and that bitterness. Now, you cannot rationally explain that. It's a spiritual reality. But it's true. So the more time you spend in the Word of God, the more opportunities there will be for you to grow into Christ's likeness as you obey and believe that Word. Number four, being in the Word of God increases your faith. You want to have faith to move mountains? You want to have faith to see God work in your situation in miraculous ways? Well, then spend time in the Word. Our verse of the month, Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes where? It comes from hearing. Just hearing anything? Nope. Hearing by the Word of Christ. You want more faith? Hear more the words of Christ. You want to hear more the words of Christ? Spend more time in the Word. Now, I don't think He's talking about those red letters. I think He's talking about the Word of Christ is the Bible. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. All Scriptures God breathed. So you spend time in the Word, and guess what? Your faith is going to increase. As God causes that Word to come alive to you, your faith will increase. And faith is so important to the Christian life. Jesus said, be it done unto you according to your faith. Jesus also said, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you've already received them and you shall receive them. The writer of Hebrews said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can't please Him without faith. Now, since faith is so important, if there's a way for you to increase your faith, wouldn't you want to avail yourself of it? Do I hear amen? Yes, I would. Spend more time in the Word. While you're driving to work, while you're driving home, while you're walking, while you're jogging, while you're around the house, spend more time in the Word. And your faith will increase because faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of Christ. Number five, the Word renews your mind. in Romans 12:2, Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You see the word renewed? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word renewed is the word renovated. To be renovated. Be transformed by having your mind renovated. Now, what do we do when we renovate a house? You've heard me use this illustration before, but it is so apt. When you renovate a house, you go in and you look at the different parts of the house. Let's say you're taking a room. And you go in this old dilapidated house and you start looking at the different boards in this room. And if the board is good, if it's strong, if it's satisfactory, you leave it. But if you move to a board that's rotten, what do? You take it out and you replace it with a good board. And you go through the whole house, taking out what's bad, replacing it with what's good, but leaving what's good. That's renovation. You don't demolish it and then rebuild it. That's not renovation. When he says that our minds should be renovated, he says we need to go through and take every thought, every opinion, every value that we have, every philosophy that we have, and see if it's dilapidated, if it's worn out, if it's unworthy. And if it is, pull it out. Get rid of it. Well, what do you put in the place of it? You put the truth of God. You put God's Word in the place of it. What God says, His value, His opinion about that situation. Again, you take the issue of abortion. I'd say you have just become a Christian, and you have grown up in a secular background, and you have always been taught that abortion's acceptable. That's okay. It's a woman's right. It's her choice. And now you're a Christian, and you begin to say, well, now, I wonder if that really is right. And so you look at that board and you say, well, let me see. So you go to the Word of God and you begin to see God's Word, and it becomes evident to you that God treats that unborn child, that preborn child, as a human being. He told Jeremiah while he was yet in his mother's womb that He had appointed him to be a prophet, that God had a relationship with him. And so you begin to realize, well, you know, that preborn child is a person. And this opinion that I had previously is not right. And so you pull that old value out and replace it with God's value. That's renewing your mind. You are putting God's thoughts in the place of your thoughts. And you're bringing your thoughts in line with God's thoughts. Now, where do you find God's thoughts? Right here. That's all this book is, the thoughts of God. So you replace your thoughts with God's thoughts. Well, how do you get God's thoughts into your mind? You spend time with God's thoughts. The more time you spend in the Word, the more you're going to have the thoughts of God in your mind. Now, you get the thoughts of man in your mind throughout the day at work. Every time somebody's talking, they're putting thoughts in your mind. Every time you watch the television, listen to the radio, on the way to work, listen to music, they're putting thoughts in your mind. Now, you need to put God's thoughts in your mind. You do so by spending more time in the Word. Number 6, the Word of God brings perseverance, encouragement, and hope. Romans 15 verse 4 says, "For whatever was written in earlier times," and he's talking about the Old Testament, "was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Now, there are times that we all feel like giving up and quitting. We're weary with the struggle. We're worn out. Now, when we face times like this, we need perseverance. We need to keep going. We need to not give up. Well, where do you find perseverance to keep going? Do you just try to reach down within yourselves and say, well, I'm just going to be more determined? If I were you, I would go to the Word of God, because That's where you can find perseverance. This verse says, through the perseverance of the Scriptures. That's why it's so important to be in the Word and to be under the preaching of the Word so that you might continue to persevere in the Christian faith. The preaching of the Word of God is one of the means that God has ordained to keep the saints in the faith, to keep you from falling away, to keep you from dropping by the wayside. To keep you persevering in the faith, you need to be in the Word of God. The Spirit of God will take the Word of God and use it to give you the strength to keep going. Just in that weary moment, you read in Galatians 6, where it says, "Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap." And that gives you the strength to keep going. You're just tired of praying for this person. You keep praying in years you've prayed and never seen any results. And then you come across that verse where Jesus says, "Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And it will be opened unto you." And the Holy Spirit gives you the strength to keep on praying. The same thing for encouragement and hope. You're discouraged? Get in the Word. You can find encouragement there. You have a sense of hopelessness and despair? Get in the Word. You'll find hope in the Word of God. Number 7, the Word is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The only offensive piece of the spiritual armor that we are to wear as Christians is the sword of the Word. Now, you don't take your helmet off and try to attack somebody with that. You don't even take your shield and try to beat somebody to death with that. Your sword is your offensive weapon in the spiritual battle. And we are called to wage war against the enemy, both in our society and in our homes. And in our spiritual lives. And to wage war, you need to be on the offensive. Not just in a defensive posture all the time, wondering where and when He's going to attack next. But you need to be out attacking His darkness, His kingdom of darkness, and destroying it with the light of God, which is the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. You need to take that sword, which is that particular word God gives you, and go after the enemy. You need to destroy his work in your family, in your life, through the sword of the Spirit. I'm afraid too many Christians don't have the sword. They have a little pocket knife. One of those little small pocket knives. Now, the airport security people might take notice of that, but I guarantee you Satan won't. You need to have Goliath's sword. That long, big sword of the Word. Which is God's particular word to you about a particular situation. And only stands to reason, the more time you spend in the Word, the more God's going to give you those words that can be your sword to attack the enemy. Number 8. It promotes the Spirit-filled life. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the Word of God richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Now, Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This last part of that verse is almost identical to this verse. The only difference is the beginning. Instead of saying being filled with the Spirit, it says, "Let the Word of Christ richly dwell in you." And you know what that tells me? That tells me that to be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the Spirit. Right? The Spirit of God is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. Christ is the Word of God. And if you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you need to be filled with the Word. And how do you get filled with the Word? You spend time in the Word. More time than you're presently spending by letting it richly dwell within you. Can it be said of you that the Word of God richly dwells within you? When God looks at your life, does He think, now the Word of God richly dwells within her, within him? Number 9, the Word is food for your spirit. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Many parallels in the physical world that God has placed there to help us understand spiritual truth that we cannot see. Probably all of us in here have had some time experience with babies and their desire for milk. A full-term baby will naturally desire to eat. And they will let you know they are hungry because they will cry. They are saying in their own way, I want to eat. I am hungry. You do not have to take a full-term baby and say, now let me teach you how to eat. Or let me tell you it's time for you to eat. They are naturally hungry. They hunger. And that milk is nourishment to help them grow. Spiritual babies hunger for the Word. And the Word of God is food for your spirit. And just as we grow physically from being a baby to adulthood, we are to grow spiritually from being a spiritual babe at conversion to being a spiritually mature person. There's a growth process. And what is the food that will promote the spiritual growth? We know the food that promotes physical growth. We've had plenty of experience with that. Some of us maybe more than others. But we know what that is. Well, what's the food that will promote your spiritual growth? One very important thing is the Word of God. Now, if you don't eat but once a week, what kind of condition will your physical body be in? If you only ate lunch on Sunday and that was the only meal you ate all week, what shape would you be in? You'd be so weak, so anemic, you probably couldn't even get out of bed. And any opportunistic disease could take over you because your immunity would be so low. Well, is it any wonder when people only feed on the Word one time a week that they're spiritually weak and anemic and every sin and temptation comes and wreaks havoc upon them? No question in my mind. Why? If you're going to be strong spiritually, you need to feed your spirit, and you feed your spirit in the Word. The more time you spend in the Word listening and obeying, the stronger your spirit will become. And the more you will stand against temptation and sin. Number 10, the Word enables you to experience the great blessings of God. 2 Peter 1:3 says, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. You want to have everything God has already given you for your life and for your godliness? I sure do. Well, how do you get that? Look at the rest of the verse. Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Through the true knowledge of Him. God has already given it to you. It's there. It's available. But you can only tap into it through the true knowledge of Him. And where do you find that true knowledge? Right here. In the Word. So you want to have all the blessings God has in store for you in this life and in your spiritual life? Then get in the Word. And find that true knowledge. And believe it. And obey it. And you will be blessed. Does God want you to spend more time in the Word than you are now? Do you want these blessings in your life? Are you willing to spend more time in the Word? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word, the truthfulness of Your Word, the power of Your Word. Lord, touch our hearts, give us a hunger and a thirst for Your Word, that we might know You more intimately and manifest You to others more truly. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the same Word that is truth tells us that apart from Christ, you are headed for an eternity in hell. That you cannot do anything to earn salvation. You cannot do anything to be good enough to be saved. But that Jesus Christ has done everything necessary for you to have your sins forgiven and to have eternal life, to spend eternity with Him in heaven. Well, what must you do? The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does it mean to call upon His name? It means to say, God, I know I cannot earn salvation. I know I've sinned. I know I have fallen short of Your glory. But I believe Jesus, through His life, death, and resurrection, did everything necessary for me to be saved. And I come and lay myself upon His mercy, surrendering my will to His will as my Lord, accepting and believing Him as my Savior. If that's your heart's desire, would you step out as we sing these next few moments? If you need to come and pray, you feel free to do that as well. Stand and let us sing together.